Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 170. I'm Adam and I'm the new lodger. And with me this week is Robert Haynes.
So what's the plan tonight? Pizza? Booze? Telly?
Rhys Parton?
Call me the Rotmeister.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Has anyone ever told you you're a bit weird?
Yes, and then I punch them.
Constantly.
Yeah, well, that's the hazard of being a Doctor Who fan, I'm afraid. Welcome to the show. Right, this week we'll be looking at The Lodger. So, yes, yeah, a bit short this week. Matthew's computer's broken, Mary's doing other things.
I'm the same height.
So, unfortunately, we're just lumbered with this crowd. Right, The Lodger.
Did you hear what he just said, guys?
Yeah, I'll ignore him because he's just happy that he's got company.
Right. So I'm not going to do a complete commentary because I'm obviously haven't had much time to watch this because I've been busy with the Isle of Wight Festival this week. The Doctor the TARDIS lands, the Doctor steps out, gets blown out of the TARDIS, and the TARDIS disappears. That's basically how it starts. Yeah, it's very strange.
He says that he sees a Ryman's, and a few seconds later. Amy says that they're in Colchester, yes. And I checked, and there's no Ryman stationery store in Colchester. The nearest one's in Ipswich.
Pedantic moment of the week. That was the quickest you've ever done. Pardon? That was all about 15 people, even though there's three on the podcast, 15 people all talking out of each other at the same time. Right. I'll carry on then, shall I? Anyway, so this bespectacled young man walks up the stairs and disappears. And then we meet Sophie and Craig, who are looking at a very suspicious stain on the ceiling.
Yeah, glad you said ceiling.
Yes. And, they're clearly, even from their first conversation, madly in love. And I quite like the way they depicted this acting-wise. Nothing was really said. But just through body language and looks, really cleverly did it. and vice versa.
Yeah.
Very, very clever.
And, when he slammed his face into the fridge.
Yeah, and the whole fridge moved. But what I did like was the camera angle looking down at her from the stairs, because her boobs did look particularly nice from that angle. Well, it's true. It's something that did hop into my mind while watching this back.
It did.
Into your mind, was it, or somewhere else?
Don't be cheeky. Like you say, he headbutts the fridge. Of course, headbutting is a bit of
the same sort of thing. On the other side of the door, she leans on it and just pulls her face like she should have said it then.
I'm just wondering though, Rhys, when he headbutts the fridge, does the fridge transfer information about chilled items to his brain?
Well, the fridge does have a postcard from the Van Gogh.
Yeah, Van Gogh.
Yeah.
There you go, Mary.
Oh, who's eating Twiglets now?
Yeah, who's got some Twiglets?
Walker's Smoky Bacon Crisps.
Okay.
Please excuse Robert while he put you on hold. He has to eat a Twiglet.
Yeah. Anyway,
I did find a store where I can get Jammy Dodgers. Oh, no. It's only about 3 minutes away. Yay!
Yeah, I've got a shop you can get Jammy Dodgers from.
But, well, duh.
So, yeah, you'd expect so in the UK.
3 minutes away as well, funny enough. So the Doctor invites us after Craig tells him that he loves him. So he says, that's just, well, I'm your new lodger. And they immediately strike up a sort of a friendship. And the Doctor concocts this strange meal of ham and egg and cheese. And
it does look quite nice, though, actually. Yes, it does. This is one of those weird times where in Modern Who, where the Doctor, rather than providing a winning lottery ticket...
A bag of money, yeah.
No. Well, the bag of money, and also he says that the former roommate came across a lot of money from inheriting it.
Ah.
Although that probably came from a lottery ticket, come to think of it.
Yeah, maybe the doctor say, well, very convenient.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so...
I love his line. Have some rinse. That's probably a lot, is it?
That's something I did actually miss that. So what you're implying from that is that the doctor actually arranged for the previous lodger to win loads of money so as he could take over his room.
Yeah, that's the idea. So, yeah.
What a divvy I am. I didn't really pay. I was very tired, as I said, with the Isle of Wight Festival this weekend. Not much sleep, not concentrating particularly well.
You were going around, look at me, I'm wearing a vegetable.
And Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Bon Jovi are actually quite good. Although they said they were going to play for 3 hours and actually play for an hour and a half. They came on 20 minutes late and left half an hour early.
Richie Sambora was there as well.
Was there not?
Because he's doing rehab, isn't he?
Wow, they were still very good.
We had a festival over here as well, the Bonnaroo Festival. Oh, I did not go.
Well, I will be posting photos on Facebook and video on YouTube when I get round to doing it, which won't be too long, maybe tomorrow. But anyway, back to Doctor Who. There's certain aspects of this relationship between the Doctor and Craig that I really like, and certain aspects are a bit stupid. But I know people hate comedy episodes. Some people hate comedy episodes and therefore hate this one. But nor do I. I actually enjoyed the episode on the whole. But that's just a couple of strange things. The Doctor sort of acts, and he acts as if he's never really met a human before. The way he says, this is how humans greet, you know, with the sort of air kissing. He knows full well. After thousands... Sorry.
I know.
Yes, thousands of years of hanging around humans, that's not how humans greet each other.
I also love the way he keeps saying, it's normal when he does something. Breakfast, in bed, it's normal.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's invented this little earpiece so he can communicate with Amy by way of convenience to the plot.
I like that little earpiece, the way it scrambles people when he's talking nonsense.
Although he was wearing it in the shower, so Amy heard him having a shower and singing.
You ever wonder if the 11th Doctor also has a cobra tattoo?
Yeah. Brings to mind Spearhead from Space, doesn't it? Because he was singing the same song.
Yes.
Something is happening.
But when that girl's sort of screaming and her mouth opens up and all these sort of spittle is sort of stretching from her top of her mouth to bottom, it's quite gross, really.
You pay attention to some really weird things.
Some things are really gross and sort of stick in my mind, but that was pretty horrible, actually.
I haven't checked the. I haven't checked the Facebook group this morning. Do we still have a gross?
No, 144.
So yes, 144. Oh,
Matthew. Will you stop blooming masticating on my channel?
Hold on.
It's Adam. Don't masticate. Mute your microphone. Adam. Yes.
It says, "Tell Adam I'm on my way home from work and should be online in about 15 minutes."
Yeah, I did. I think Matthew. You mentioned he might have been a bit late, but anyway. I forgot what I was going to say now. You and your blooming masticating.
Stop it, Rob. It's disgusting.
I was going to say something then. You put me right off my thread. Will you stop blooming masticating?
Honestly, Rob.
There is a mute button on the blooming thing.
I'll clean up afterwards, I promise.
Anyway.
Hello, Gutter. Nice to see you.
Where I was now. Oh, yes. No, you're talking about... I can't remember now. I've lost my thread completely, thanks to you. It's a very important part of the podcast that I've forgotten what I was going to say, thanks to you. So, anyway, the Doctor gets embroiled into a football match. Mm-hmm. Initially puts his shirt on back to front.
Oh, football, yes.
I can't help that. It's actually part of the show.
Yeah, true. I know. Excuse it this time.
And as I mentioned last time on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, when we looked at this show, I think it was episode 6. APV Services proudly presents episode 6 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Hello, welcome to episode 6 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm known as Adam, although I don't know why.
And I'm Alicia. I do know why.
And I'm sorry the podcast has been a little bit late this week. We've been busy all weekend at the Isle of Wight Festival, which is a local event in which lots of international stars from the music industry have been appearing at, haven't they, Alicia?
Yes.
Without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. Right, I'm going to go straight into feedback this week. Ooh. Because Draculasaurus very kindly resent in his feedback, and this is exactly what he said on his second thing, which is actually more or less what he said last time. He says, "Hello again. I said something like, I saw your podcast on the DWPA site and had a listen. Really enjoyed it. Keep up the good work. D." What do you think? And that one then, Alicia?
Cool.
Underwhelming. But this is the most exciting bit of feedback, probably, and the only proper bit of feedback that we had this week. And this chuffed me to bits. Have a listen to this, Alicia. It's from Chris from the Oodcast. He says, I know you can't help to quell your excitement. He says, "Dear Adam, Alicia, Chris from the Oodcast here. Just listen to your brilliant podcast. Thanks so much for reviewing our show so warmly. It really made our day. You two are extremely funny when you argue with each other. It's a real unique chemistry you have as presenters. It sets you apart and it's fantastic. Laura was particularly chuffed you liked the theme tune." I have to say, before I move on with this, the argument is not actually deliberate. It's because of Alicia.
Oh, you blame it on me?
Well, it's the case.
Stop.
You interrupt me. Anyway, Laura and I were wondering if we could have your permission to play the section of episode 4 where you talk about us live, to Chris and Andrew during our next episode.
Yeah.
All right. It's the first time we've been reviewed by another podcast, but I'm pretty sure they were reviewed on the WhoCast, actually, but never mind. I diverse. And we wanted to get their reaction as they listen. We also give you a hearty plug, of course.
Yay.
We normally record on a Tuesday, so if I've done that, well, doesn't matter about that bit. But anyway, yes. Other than that, keep up the great work. Chris and Laura in brackets. That's the best bit of feedback we have ever had. No offence for everybody else, but we're massive fans.
I like the Oodcast.
We're massive fans of the Oodcast.
Love the theme tune, love the songs they do, love all of it.
It's almost like getting a bit of feedback from a celebrity. When Lewis Trapani mentioned us on the... What was that thing he mentioned us on? Pod Shock, yes.
Badger.
So thank you everybody at the Oodcast, and I hope we can have a good working relationship, because we'll keep plugging it, because we love it.
Yes.
And it's very clever. In fact, we have actually done a sketch... by way of tribute, in a way, to the Oodcast, nowhere near as good as them, and it should appear at the end of this episode, if indeed there's enough time to fit it in. So, yes. Look forward to hearing that episode, don't you? The one we might appear on.
Yeah.
I feel like a member of the Oodcast team. Actually, that got me thinking.
Here we go.
Well, you're always in a bit of a mood, aren't you? I thought we could change the name of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who cast to the Moodcast.
Ha ha ha.
I think it's quite feasible. Obviously, there'll be a lot of changing names on URLs and everything, but it's a topical and it fits your sort of nature, doesn't it? Ow. Anyway, let's see if I can relate back to my notes, because I've just lost my page.
Good.
Oh, yes, it says, we're talking about us being laid back and stuff. It got me thinking. We actually, as a podcast, have decided to ditch cynicism, unless, of course, it's absolutely necessary, because we love cynicism when you sort of look on the negative side of things, Alicia. We absolutely love Doctor Who, so it's very difficult for me, when I'm watching it, to be cynical about it, unless there's something really, really bad. And I actually sometimes get a bit irate listening to Doctor Who podcasts where people slag off the show. And I must say, even if I find something bad about it, there's usually more things in it I like than I dislike. But I do try to be a little bit nitpicky, because otherwise you can't really have a critical representation of it, can you? No. We interrupt this broadcast with an Isabella interview.
Yay!
Hello, welcome to the Doctor Who class.
Hello, Isabella, once again. By popular demand, you have come back to answer questions about Doctor Who. So did you like this week's episode?
Amy.
You like Amy?
Yeah.
So what happened on Doctor Who this week?
Amy fell down to the ground.
Now, that was last week's episode. What happened this week with the chair and the monster?
Doctors can't get up to the chair. Then he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctor.
What about the monster?
But the monster trying to get Doctor, but he did it.
He didn't. What happened to the monster?
Monster trying to get to the people, but they didn't.
They didn't.
Did.
They did?
Yeah.
What did the monster do?
He just had a look, then he had a look to the car, then the monster just go in the people.
Oh, I don't remember a car. Was there a car?
Yeah.
I don't remember a car there. Was that a car there?
Yeah.
Oh, was there? Okay.
Do it again.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the Doctor Who car.
Yes, welcome. We're going to be at the end of it now.
Again?
Well, are you going to say goodbye?
Hello.
So, say bye.
No, not bye. Hello.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the Doctor Who car.
How old are you again?
8.
4.
8.
4.
I'm 8. I'm 8.
That's nice. That's good. So you're going to say goodbye?
Would say hello.
We'll say goodbye.
Say hello.
Bye.
I would say the Doctor Who Club.
Go on then.
Yes, it's the Doctor Who Club to say.
Okay, go on then.
Hello, welcome to the Doctor Who Club. Yes, and the people are together.
Okay, after that lovely argument and funny time, bye-bye.
Yes, moving back to feedback, there was a bit of Glade Packer's feedback that I missed out last week, and he says, now, just an overall question, why hasn't there ever been a female doctor? I think that would be very interesting. A very interesting way to go, since it's never been done before. So, what do you think? Do you think the Doctor should be a female, Alicia?
Be interesting.
I think it would be terrible. He's a male character. It's like, I mean, saying Sherlock Holmes should be played by a woman. No, I think that he has to say a woman. I know he was a woman in the Curse of the Fatal Death, wasn't he? Do you remember that? Joanna Lumley played him as a woman. And that's probably why they did that bit. And that was actually written by Stephen Moffat as well. So, no, I personally think that he has to say as a man. I don't think I'd watch Doctor Who if it was a woman. Not for sexist reasons, but just he's always been, for nearly 50 years,
sexist.
A male character.
Because you think men are better than
women. No, it's because the Doctor is a male.
How do you know?
Oh, look, I'm not going to get into a...
How do you know, though?
Well, I haven't seen inside his trousers, is that what you're saying, but he is a male. Because he's got... What?
How does he know? He could turn into...
How would he explain to his children that he'd suddenly gone from a man to a woman? I mean, I know some people who have had transsexual operations have had
to explain.
Are
you being offensive?
Am I?
Yes.
I'm just saying, I know that has actually happened in real life, that people have had children as men and changed to women. So maybe that's the same issue there. But me personally, I would like him to stay as a man.
What if he does turn into a woman?
I'd be disappointed. And probably wouldn't watch it anymore. I probably would, actually, but I'd just watch it and sulk for a very long period of time.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. So, I'd like to, before we move on to the episode that was on this week, which was The Lodger, just give a mention to the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, of which we are a member. And you can find all of the relevant podcasts on www.DoctorWhoPodcastAlliance.org, which leads us to Podcast of the Week. And I can tell you, this week's Podcast of the Week was the Flash and Blades interview with Nick Briggs, which was absolutely fantastic.
Are we ever going to get Podcast of the Week?
We get podcast week. Yeah. No, we can't actually give ourselves podcast of the week,
why?
Unfortunately.
No, but can we get podcast of the week?
It's called being biased. No, it's what I'm saying, my personal
opinion. How do you get podcast of the week?
By just being my favourite podcast of the week. And the Nick Briggs interview was definitely my favourite podcast of the week this week. Really, really good. So if you want to listen to Flash and Blade, look up the Nick Briggs interview and have a listen. Tony does a really good job
of
that.
And mad and like talking about cats.
Yes, they do talk about cats a lot. So,
we should talk about dogs.
And dogs as well, if that's what you like.
Really?
Now we can move on to this week's episode of Doctor Who, which, fortunately, we have only just recently watched. So, allow me to find my notes. So, The Lodger. Now, when I was watching it, I did think, is the man upstairs making his own Cyberman? Because until we saw the end of it, we thought that Cybermen were supposed to be in this episode, because it did sound like Cybermen stomping around. That was obviously proven to be wrong. And the Doctor in it says, they call me the Doctor, I don't know why, as I alluded to at the beginning of the show. I quite like that line, I thought that was quite funny. I like the bit at the beginning, do you remember when the Doctor sort of steps out of the TARDIS and there's an explosion that blows him away from the TARDIS and then TARDIS sort of disappears? But then later on in the episode, they sort of make it seem as if that was meant to happen, and the Doctor's got his earpiece. So how does...
He had it in his pocket, or he made it, or
I don't know, but it's a bit... Not really explained, is it, how...
It's supposed to use your imagination.
I don't think so. That
yes,
really...
it is.
No, I'm sorry, that just wasn't...
No.
Will you shut up?
You shut up.
Anyway, did you notice the Van Gogh picture on the fridge?
Yes.
Wonder what that was there for. Or was it just put in there to make it look like it was a coincidence?
Yep.
And also, Amy trying to control the TARDIS.
How is she allowed to do that?
How is she able to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know, but River Song was able to control the TARDIS. Pardon?
Amy's River Song.
Is she?
Don't know.
And did you like the bit where... the Doctor says, Earth to Pond.
Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, I thought it was funny. Oh, about when the Doctor's in the shower and he's all feeling around for a sonic screwdriver and grabs a toothbrush and uses that instead.
I'm sure that's been used before.
I don't remember that bit being used before.
No.
And I'd also admit, the music for this episode was really good, wasn't it? Don't you think? Or did you not notice it?
Didn't notice it, to be honest.
No, I thought it was really good.
I think James Gordon would make a brilliant companion.
I think he'd make a good Doctor, to be honest with you. I hadn't actually thought of that until you said that, but I think he'd make a really good Doctor.
I think he'd make a good companion, to be honest.
He would, but they won't bring him back as a companion.
I would love to see him as a companion.
I'd like to see him as the Doctor.
Because they're it's like mates. Two best mates messing about.
But they haven't had a fat Doctor since Colin Baker. And,
what, James Gordon as a Doctor?
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Won't it be a bit like...
A bit like what?
Just thinking, but what... You know, like, Romana got to choose what she looked like.
Yes.
But he said he couldn't do that, but wouldn't that be a bit...
No, it would be like...
chooses to do it.
No, it would be like the fifth Doctor regenerating into Colin Baker's Doctor, and Colin Baker had already played a character in Doctor Who. He played Max Tidd, was it? I can't remember his actual name.
Oh, so the body chooses it. I get it, but... I don't know, James Gordon as a Doctor, I think you'd be better as a companion more than a Doctor, to be honest.
We beg to differ. And also, did you know the thought of the football match? Now, I love football, I'm a Doctor Who fan, I'm a football fan. What slightly annoyed me is, although the Doctor, I enjoyed his skills and being
nudges,
I'm sure he was able to be a really good footballer, that doesn't bother me at all, but the fact that when he scored the goal, he scored it into a hockey goal. Football is played with full-size football goals, not hockey goals, because they were in full kit and playing a proper regulation match. That was not a full-size football goal. What the hell were they playing at? Very annoying.
We got them at school.
Yeah, they're hockey goals. You play them when you're having a kick around, you're in a break or something, not in a regulation
maybe
match.
It don't matter, does it?
It doesn't.
No, stop it. No, in a park. No, we're in a park. So
playing a regulation football match with a hockey goal. No.
It's a pub game.
It was a regulation football match.
It was a pub game.
They had a referee. The referee should have immediately spotted one. Did they have a net actually behind at the goal? I can't remember it having a net. But anyway, the point is, it was not the regulation. So the goal the Doctor scored didn't count. Unless the crackers had some effect on the history and development of football, which meant they ended up with smaller goals.
Oh, shut up, Dad.
No.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. We play like proper football matches, like, let's say, my school goes against another school at our school, and we've got goals like that, and we've got a referee. So why does that affect us?
These are full-time, these are men playing football in a regulation match.
Your point is, it's still a game. Just face it.
Anyway, the little girl at the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
Did you think stop empty
it.
Child?
No, stop
no,
it.
Did you think empty child when you saw that?
You did, I thought.
No, I thought so. I know she did. She said, I'm looking for my mummy, didn't she? Something like that.
Mummy.
Did she say, I'm looking for my mummy? Something like that, I can't remember. And did you see also when, what's her name, Sophie, was it, and Craig, they were having a little sort of conversation. There was an oval-shaped picture behind on the wall behind of a very strange-looking man. That was quite spooky. I don't know if he's going to have some effect on the...
No.
No, obviously not.
I think it's a painting. It might be a Vincent van Gogh painting.
Mm. But what about also... It wasn't a Vincent van Gogh painting.
It was
what about
a
painting
of some sort.
Yes, it was a painting, obviously.
Never.
Mm. The bit where the doctor was talking to the cat.
Yes, what about the cat?
Oh. Yeah. Remember him talking to the cat? He had a conversation with the cat. Is he actually his real name Doolittle then? Because he... Dr. Doolittle. Because that was a bit strange.
I know why he can talk to cats.
Why?
Because he's met cat people.
Okay.
Well, cat people are like cats, but they just talk, but maybe it's picked up the psychic thing.
A bit like you then, you're a person that just talks. Anyway, I think that some Doctor Who fans are going to absolutely hate this story. Probably the
I
ones
like
that,
it.
Probably the ones
the
who don't like football.
I think it's the best story so far.
I thought last week's was the best story so far.
I thought last week's.
But anyway... I must admit, once again, I was thoroughly entertained by this story, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward to next week, because I saw a... What did I say? What ship did I see? What should I call it?
Sontaran.
Sontaran ship.
Well, you did mention the Sontaran.
Yeah, but I swear, you know those little ball things, the Masquerade, what they were called?
Oh, that's a good question. Toclophane.
Yeah, I swear I saw them going towards... the ship, because I saw an oval shape with, you know, like the patterns they had on the top of the vein. I'm gonna have to watch it back. But
there you
I
are
swear so
referring
that.
To the trailer for the series finale that appeared at the end, which was a bit weird in itself because it had mainly it was mainly full of scenes we've already seen.
You said that all the monsters coming back. What did that mean if Davros is coming back as well?
I think it refers to all the monsters from this series, although the Sontarans weren't.
Yeah,
in
thank you.
Maybe just
who would we have this series? We've had Prisoner Zero, episode two, what do we have? We had the dubby things, didn't we?
Dubby?
The dubby things, you know, the really freaky smile things. And episode three, what do we have?
Episode two was Beast Below.
Episode
three was the Daleks.
So we had the Daleks. Will we have
Weeping
the,
Angels.
But think about it, will we have the new Daleks or will we have the old Daleks?
No, it'll be the new Daleks.
Well, maybe they've, like, had an army or something. Next episode?
I said Weeping Angels.
Yeah, so they'll probably come back as well.
And then it was the vampires and...
Yeah, so... Not sure. I don't think you would actually include their ones, to be honest.
No, I don't think so. I think you're talking drivel.
I don't think I'm talking drivel.
Anyway. So, moving back to what I was my notes. As I say, I don't think the Doctor Who fans are going to... Some Doctor Who fans will love it, some of them again. I'd like it for all the Doctor Who fans liked all the episodes, but I think there's going to be a big split with this one. But I loved it. I was thoroughly entertained.
I like it.
And I think
loved
I,
it.
Like, it was predicted that before the big series finale that there would be a light relief episode, you know, like a comedy sort of episode, and this is obviously it. It did remind me a little bit about like Love and Monsters, but this time the Doctor was in it.
But
had that sort of atmosphere.
Did you see Amy's face when she opened the ring? It was kind of weird, wasn't it? When she saw it, it was like she...
Yeah, it's like
it looked like she kind of remembered it, but
yes.
She don't.
Yeah, that was quite interesting, that scene, but predictable they were going to put something like that in it at some point, because obviously they kept the ring in the story for a reason. That was obviously it. Another thing I noticed that they've been using a lot in this series is perception filters. There's like perception filters galore.
Did... One time the Doctor said that he had his pockets are bigger on the inside. Was that his trouser pockets or his coat pockets?
Like any of his pockets, I think.
Yeah, but when Amy put her hand in, it looked like a proper pocket, not a bigger pocket, if you know what I mean.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, so you've covered the bit I was going to say next about Amy finding the ring. And another crack. I think they've really.
Yeah, but
this
you see,
stage,
no, when she opened
cracked.
The box, the crack got a bit bigger when she opened the.
I don't know if that was actually supposed to be the case. I suppose.
Yeah, but she opened it and she looked at it, and the crack got bigger. Yeah. Maybe the ring is involved.
No, because every time we the ring didn't really appear until episode 5, was it? When Rory
yeah,
came into it? Episode 6.
You never know, the ring might have something to do with it.
Maybe so. But I'd say basically it was a good episode and I can't wait till next week to see the beginning of the finale. Although, you know, the trouble is, once that finale's over and done with, the series is over and done with. So that'll
be... It's a special. Woo!
Yeah, how long is that to wait? They're filming the Christmas special at the moment, apparently.
So, July, August, September, October... November, December, six months.
6 months, yes. That's a long time to wait. And almost exactly 6 months, because obviously the last episode goes on the 26th of June.
Yeah, it's my party. Yes. Woo! It's my birthday next week.
Yes. I think you've drawn that one into the listeners quite enough.
This is Daphne Ashbrook, and you are listening to 20 Megabyte Podcast. Don't miss it.
I can't remember, but I got very irritated by the fact that the goals are about a quarter of the size of a normal football goal.
How come they didn't have nets?
I was about to ask
again,
the same thing.
Again,
why were
again,
there
if it's
nets?
A proper football match, which it obviously wasn't, they would have been having a referee there, but they would have had proper size goals and nets. So
I've got an answer.
We have nets when
you
we
have?
Play
it's
here.
An alternative world. So go on. What's it?
Oh, football's is different in Doctor Who.
Oh, God.
They did have they did have official BBC coverage of this particular match.
Yeah.
If you watch The Confidential.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to watch The Confidential.
Robert!
Can I just say...
Sorry.
One of the reasons I was slightly late to start the show was that I ate my lunch. Notice I ate my lunch before
I had my dinner.
Recording.
I had my dinner before.
Yes,
I'll have my breakfast when we're done.
Yeah, I wolfed it down. But that's why you might have heard me burp, because I wolfed it down.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Bad wolf.
What's that from
back to Doctor
though?
Who. <God's sake. laughs> so the Doctor's quite good at football. Obviously, it was a convenience to actually work the fact that Matt Smith used to be a footballer into the story, so they could actually.
And he's got the number 11. Duh.
Yes. And also, he mentions that he's... Oh, yeah, well, Craig mentions he's the 11th. No, he mentions he's the 11th after they headbutt each other. That'll teach you
him
talking
fingers.
And podcasting at the same time. Somebody slap him on the back.
Okay, Robert, there you go. Heimlich manoeuvre.
There we go. What are we saying? Don't talk and eat at the same time, listeners. It's very dangerous. eat your dinner before podcasting, and then, of course, there's no chance of that.
I did eat dinner before podcasting.
No, you did not.
I ate my dinner before podcasting. It was just the crisps.
Well, snacks do count as food, and you can choke on them while talking. And, of course, while doing a podcast, talking actually does come into that. So that rather illustrates that talking...
Oh, damn, I forgot that.
Yeah. What, we can't see him?
One aspect of the Doctor I do enjoy in this episode is when he's making his gadgets. I do like the Doctor when he's got a load of sort of random stuff and he's trying to make
the
stuff.
Yeah, he a lot, didn't he?
Yeah. Which is really, really good.
But can I just say that I love the music for the football scene, and I posted that on the Facebook group. It's just very catchy and very fun.
Oh, yeah, so, I saw you posted the music, but I didn't know that it was from the football scene. I just like the music.
Yeah?
Good one. Obviously, I'm sure Murray Gold won't mind that. There's a post that I could have put in the quiz, and darn, why didn't I do that? When he brings Craig's breakfast into him, Craig's has he touched the stain at this point? And it says, the return of Nuke Nasty, which I could have actually put... Oh, it's a poster on the wall behind when he comes in to the breakfast.
So that's not going to be on.
Return
of
Nuke
this one.
Nasty. Now, that could be a name of a future Doctor Who podcast, couldn't it? The Return of Nuke Nasty. Never mind. I don't know if that's a real film or not. I'm sure Kirby will find out within a matter of seconds.
I've got Wikipedia open right in front of me. There's continuity. On Craig's fridge is a postcard advertising thing. At the end of the episode, the Doctor instructs Amy to leave him a note with Craig suggests it's his younger self had at the start of the episode. Amy is shown leaving the note in the series finale, The Big Bang.
OK. Okay. I could also said what time is on the clock.
I have Wikipedia open too, but it was my Wikipedia is open to Galaxy 4 because I was watching the Aztecs special edition last night.
Well, there you go. Anyway, right. So yeah, so Craig is late for work. Like I say, the time on the clock could have been a quiz question, but honestly, when I'm writing them down, sometimes I miss stuff and I miss that. I could have had loads of questions, little random sort of. You see, that's a little clue for everybody playing at home with the quiz. Look at the details. I'll be writing questions about details as well as things that are not so detailed. So keep your eyes peeled.
It didn't get me very far last week.
Clearly not.
I forgot to. I only watched this once, and I forgot to pay that close attention. So I will lose again.
Well, I've given you some.
No, no. We're going to win, Kirby. We're going to win.
I was thinking.
You were thinking. No, that doesn't happen very often, does it?
I was thinking.
Oh,
you would,
raced it ahead.
No, actually, I'm learning how to get used to it. But I was thinking that you'd be looking out for Craig's number on the football field, but I couldn't see it, and I watched it a few times just in case you'd say, "What was it?"
Okay. I could have also added the question, what is on the monitor of Craig's computer, which is being used by the doctor? Two stripy fish. There we go.
And that's a point to Adam.
Would that be Finding Nemo sort of stripy fish?
No, just black, red and white stripy fish.
Oh, okay.
Not clownfish, no. It's a beautiful pussy, though, isn't it?
Oh, that's disgusting, Adam.
No, the doctor has a chat with the pussy.
He tells us off for being smutty. Jeez.
Adam, we did not
I could
want
have been
to hear
a
sight
more
life.
Smutty about that. But no. But was a very, very pretty cat.
yeah.
But then, of course, it's a TV cat, and TV cats generally are quite good looking. So then we have the headbutting scene, which is completely absurd.
They always find a good
I know. I love do it this. Like Spock does.
You like the headbutting scene?
I think the headbutting scene is the low point of the episode.
Oh, no.
Okay. Fun.
Especially the way he reacts when the doctor contacts Amy. He just goes, oh, it's Amy Pond!
And, of course, you had the little girl. When Sophie comes in, the little girl, and that was very reminiscent of two things. One was Empty Child. She's a bit, Are You My Mummy? And also, when Clara, remember the girl comes down the stairs from the book?
Yes.
It looked very similar to that, too, but obviously in shadow form. But very funny. Reef, you're quick, a lot quicker than I'm going to be today, unfortunately, because I'm just not quite with it. Alicia would be on the show, but she's having pizza at the moment, and the trouble is she's cooking it herself.
It
could end up being charcoal.
For keeping you up, she should be on the podcast.
Well, not only did she keep me up. It was also Father's Day yesterday, and guess who didn't bother mentioning anything to do with Father's Day yesterday? Just to back up the birthday scandal. Just to be consistent. Although when I picked her up at 2 o'clock in the morning, she jumped in the car and gave me a kiss and said, Happy Father's Day. I said, that was yesterday.
Yeah, but I wanted to see it in person, she said.
By 2 hours.
That's her excuse. Anyway, right. So they do go up the stairs. And this, again, the whole scene in the attic where they got that thing and it's abstracting hands to it. And I didn't mind the bit where they need someone to activate it. And they've got to go through the whole population until they find the right pilot. That's fine.
I did like the reference to Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
You did? I didn't hear that bit.
Please state the nature of your emergency.
The end of the emergency, yeah.
And he's the doctor who's asking
him. Yes.
Oh, and there's a hologram that's standing there in front of him as well.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But anyway, this bit was all right, where they explained that it's got to go through the whole of the human race, basically. But when it comes down to the doctor's hand, or the doctor starts getting attracted to it, and he's saying, no, you must sort of tell it that you want to stay because you're the pilot, when it's just said the doctor's the pilot, and the whole thing about him admitting his love to Sophie was a bit silly and stupid, but it was okay. I mean, I don't mind it on the whole, but I just find it a little bit irritating.
I thought it was as a wishy-washy. Wrap up in Power of Three. It was quick, but it was better than that.
Yeah. But never mind.
It didn't bother me.
It didn't bother you, no. It was very similar to the next Blimmin' Craig episode where love saves the day.
Now, do you suppose, since we learn later that this similar control room was being used by the Silence, that this is a Silent ship?
They never really tied that up, did they?
I know, that drives me crazy.
Yeah, but they said that the Silence tend to use technology that's there, so this was something that had been around that they discovered.
Like intergalactic magpies.
But I, you know what I found funny? Because when I first saw this, I thought, oh, that looks like Cybertech. And then the next story involved with James Corden, whatever his name is the Cyberman story.
Where are you going?
It is.
James Corden or whatever his name is. Oh, I see you mean Craig.
You know what I mean? The next episode is a Cyberman one that he does. So.
Indeed.
Yeah. I thought that was quite neat.
The only thing about, obviously, when they obviously the house becomes a single-story house, it does look rather out of place in a double-story terrace.
It does.
But never mind. And they obviously perception filters. Well, and actually, when you look at it, it does look rather CGI'd on, actually, if you look at it in great detail. But never mind.
Is it?
it looks it. Anyway, yes. So
by the time Matthew gets on, we'll be done.
Well, I'll just ask him what he thinks of it. Well, it's a fairly basic and simple story, isn't it? Obviously, once Craig and Sophie are together, there's a very large implication of what they're just about to do, and that is a conceived Stormageddon.
Actually, what was that line from the Doctor? 6 billion people in the world, there's a number to beat.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, it was funny because I heard with the subtitles on, and before they cut to Craig and Sophie in the flat, you see a subtitle come up saying "kisses and pleasurable groaning sounds" or something.
Yeah,
I saw that actually.
I saw that.
Yeah, so basically then it's all goodbyes, and then a little shot of the fridge door and the crack, and then back on the TARDIS for Amy to find the Rory's little ring thing. And the expression on her face makes it look like she's remembered something, but obviously we find out subsequently that she hasn't. It's just sort of made her think, maybe, I don't
Matthew's
know.
Matthew's on.
It was a horror.
Made her think that Matthew was on.
Yes.
It was the horror of the thought that the Doctor would propose to her, which is what she thought in the next episode.
Oh, very good. Oh, sorry, I should have remembered that. So I haven't seen it for a long time. In fact, 3 years, funny enough, since we actually reviewed it, and when I didn't see it when I watched it last time. Anyway, but good. That's quite good, because I've just got up to the bit where I'm asking everybody what they think of the episode. So if I just close down iTunes. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Matthew. I
thought
down
your
iTunes.
Computer was not working.
And not Skype, that would have been disastrous. So, right, unfortunately, Matthew, you've just missed our rather fast synopsis of The Lodger. And fortunately, you don't have to go through that synopsis, but you may indeed talk about the episode, and we'll say, yeah, we talked about that. No, we didn't talk about that, and stuff like that. So I'll just quick briefly say it's okay. There's certain aspects. I do like James Corden anyway, and I do like the rapport between all Corden and Smith and even Sophie in this. Sophie, I don't know the actress's name. That aspect of it is quite good fun to watch. Obviously,
Daisy
not enough of Amy.
I knew that was coming.
Thank you, Kirby. But it's okay. I don't hate it. It's just one of those Doctor Who episodes. No. Again, the other thing about it is rewatchable. You can have fun watching it again. Yeah. It's not one of those episodes I never want. You know, when it came up on the list, I got to watch The Lodger. I didn't think, for God's sake, I've got to sit down and watch that. You know, I was quite happy to watch it. It's okay.
You know,
it's just got a bit of irritating bits in it. I do know me. Yes, I do. Thank you. Yes.
You know yourself. But no, I didn't realise this, but this was based on a 2006 Doctor Who magazine comic strip. I must go and have a look at that issue 368.
Matthew. Sorry, I should say, as apparently Kirby called you. What do you think of the Lodger?
In 2010, when I first saw this was my second to least favorite episode from this particular season/series.
Potato.
Quiet.
Children behave.
That's never going to happen, I'm afraid.
No.
No.
Rewatching it now, it's still my second least favorite episode of this particular batch of episodes.
All right, then we'll move on. Kirby, what do you think?
Let him finish. Let him finish.
I want to preface what I'm fixing to say by saying that earlier this week I was re-listening to a documentary that BBC Radio 4 did a couple of years back called The Doctor and Douglas about Douglas Adams' contribution to Doctor Who, which I think the documentary may still, in fact, be up on the BBC website, well worth checking out, in which they talked about comedy in Doctor Who and why it's sometimes a problem. And also, I'm sure somebody has brought up City of Death as an example.
Plenty of people were bringing things up at the Isle of Wight Festival over the weekend. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Matthew. Please continue.
I believe you didn't.
Yes, she did. All in our bedroom on Saturday morning. Yes, but carry on.
I'm so sorry, Adam.
Yeah, so am I. Carry on.
I'll rephrase what I was saying. I am sure someone has mentioned City of Death as an example of Doctor Who.
But
the point of City of Death is that it is a Doctor Who story, first and foremost, that happens to have some particularly good one-liners and comedy in it.
Yes. Reese, you're standing up for it.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Matthew. I'm just being 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcasty. So apologise.
You can't speak.
No, I'm tired. I've had hardly any blimmin' sleep, thanks to Alicia.
I just spent 8 hours working at him. I understand.
Yeah, but after the whole weekend, I've only had 8 hours sleep.
I'm sorry.
And I had to do a full day's work yesterday.
I'm sorry.
Thanks to certain teenage people who don't give a... Anyway, carry on.
Yes, carry on.
Whereas I think it's the point of this one is that it is first and foremost, it's a comedy that has a Doctor Who story tacked onto it. And I know Robert just mentioned about 5 minutes ago that this was originally a one-off story in Doctor Who magazine that, if I'm not mistaken, is about... 6 or 8 pages long.
And it was a ninth Doctor, wasn't it, that one? Oh, no, sorry, tenth Doctor story.
Tenth Doctor.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that as a six or... I'm sure as a 6 or 8 page story, it's absolutely brilliant. Stretched out to 41 minutes and something seconds on the DVD, or as my DVD counter said yesterday, I don't think it quite works. James Corden, though, is quite funny, and I would say I probably enjoyed it more this time round than I did the first time round, but it's still my second least favorite story from this season.
And let me remember, the Silurian one would be your least favorite?
It was indeed.
Okay, right then. Go on then, Kirby. You can have a go now.
Well, as you remember from last week at the convention, when I remembered that we were going to be doing this particular episode, I kind of went, but watching it again, I discovered that I liked it better this time around than back when I last saw it, which is probably around the time that it was first on.
Yeah.
And it was okay, but it's still, like Matthew says, it's second from the bottom for this particular series for me. It's just... The Silurians is the worst.
Yeah. He has to talk.
It sounded like he was really shocked.
No!
Controversial comment there by Kirby. So what do you think, Robert? Is that shocking?
I pretty much agree with what the guys say. It's enjoyable, but it's not really a... serious sort of thing. I mean, I enjoy humour, and I know it's...
Yeah, I can see that.
I did read that it was a sort of like a fill-in episode when another one couldn't be made because of budgetary concerns or something.
Well, that other one happened to be the Doctor's Wife.
Yeah, and they had to drop it because of the special effects budget wouldn't stretch to stick it in for this season.
That's what she said.
Yes, let's say that.
Oh, Adam, you're...
Had to come at some stage, and oh, that's what she said.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
Mary, where are you? You need to restrain these boys.
Yes,
no, she said. If Mary were here, she'd... Mary here should be too busy laughing to be able to restrain anybody.
And welcome to the 20 megabyte innuendo
smut.
Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, smut yeah. Podcast. Have we all done on the lodger yet? That's what she said. Go on then. Just defend it, Reese. Defend it.
This feels like the days when we were reviewing the specials, and just about everyone specials? Hated them except for me.
You mean the Scar Band?
No, I mean the Doctor Who episodes that were called The Specials. I'm ignoring a very bad joke.
So not the Scar Band.
No, not the Scar Band. Can I carry on?
Yes.
Thank you. I would agree that because it's based on a comic strip that was however long Matthew said it was, I think that it was a well-deserved bit of fun before we had the climax, that's what she said, to the story that year.
It's 7 pages long, as you can see, as I just posted it to the 20 Minute Doctor Who podcast.
You like that?
Facebook group.
Okay, thank you.
The comic strip.
The comic strip.
I think that
Matt Smith, I was going to say James Owens, but that's the character name and the real name. What is it, James Corden? They're excellent throughout the story.
Race.
I know I am. They're excellent in the story.
Vito's online. I got a bit distracted there, beg pardon.
That's cool.
yeah.
I think that I just love Matt Smith's quirkiness in this story. And you mentioned the scene where it was a bit weird that he didn't know how to greet people, but I loved that. I just thought that something quirky like that was excellent in the way when the football player for the King's Arms football team said they're going to annihilate the other team next week. He meant the football's fashion. He said, "I'm the oncoming storm, the doctor." And basically you meant in a football sense, didn't you? And I just thought that was fantastic. And I think that the headbutt scene, which you thought was over the top, I thought that was a lot of fun, especially the way James Corden was acting like Doctor Who fan.
They acted it well. I agree they acted it well.
Yeah.
But it was a bit... Also, I remember at the time a bit of hoo-ha because with kids watching, they were thinking the kids were going to go around headbutting each other in the playground. So I don't think that actually did happen.
If it did happen, they could have
blamed it on Doctor Who.
Yeah. I remember somebody said that there have been more peaceful ways of transferring information before, like with Madame de Pompadour, he kissed her for a few minutes. But
well, he's not going to kiss Craig.
I don't think I'd want to see that. No.
Well, he kissed Captain Jack, didn't he? But that was the ninth Doctor.
Well, Captain Jack kissed him. There's a difference there.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
I like the running joke of Craig looking like his sofa and later on the Doctor calling him Sofa Man.
Yes.
I found the humour in it fun, and there were actually great one-liners, like Matthew said about City of Death. I just enjoy it, that's all. Obviously, you guys don't enjoy it as much, but
I didn't say you didn't enjoy it.
I said you didn't enjoy it as much.
I did hear that bit, and I accept that. But yeah, it's okay. It's certainly, it doesn't fall down in the same, if I was going to list all the episodes' enjoyment value, down to where Matthew has it. I'd have to sort of re-examine the whole series to see. I haven't really done that, you know, because I know other podcasts do that. They sort of rate each episode and, you know, try, which we could do really for series 7. Just sort of go through our own individual, you know, preferences and see how it all sort of tallies up. But like I say, I do know other podcasts do that, which will not be mentioned.
It did actually this time. I was listening to some old Staggering Stories podcast episodes, and they did best of and worst ofs, and I think we should do that.
The Wii.
Yes, on the payroll at Staggering Stories, by the way.
No, I yes. just appreciate fine work.
Oh, creep.
Hi, Adam Purcell. Could I come on the podcast? I'm leaving the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Adam Purcell. Now, I saw a picture of him on Facebook, and a picture that looked like absolutely. Little and Large.
Pardon?
Little and Large. There was a picture of him with, was it David Keep? I can't remember now.
I don't know.
No, you obviously weren't looking at Facebook this weekend.
No.
Sorry, carry on, Reese. I do apologise.
But if you're talking about doing a section where we rank the episodes, we could do a best of, worst of, you know, favourite comedy episodes or favourite comedy moments from particular episodes. A bit like they did.
Well, we'll see what happens. When we're scratching around for stuff to talk about, there's plenty of things we could do in relations to top 10s. But, or top 13s, if you want to count the whole series.
Top 20 megabytes. But, I mean, top 20.
Yeah. So, are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
It was a good episode. That's all we need to know.
It's
all right.
So if it weren't for the things I talked about, the slightly irritating bits, it would be a lot better. There's just a couple of really stupid bits in it that sort of slightly taint it for me. Take out the stupid bits. It was an excellent episode. But anyway, moving on.
Moving
I suppose
right along.
We could really talk about some news. It's a complete. I've been completely out of the loop this weekend because although the Isle of Wight Festival has especially erected, that's what she said, 3G mast, nobody can actually take advantage of the 3G facility because with about 70,000 people at the Isle of Wight Festival, everybody was clambering to try and use that mast, and nobody could post any. I did get a couple of pictures up on Facebook, but it took so long to upload. I was trying to text Alicia, who was elsewhere on the site, and it would take about 10 minutes just for the text to send. Doctor Who news, right then. When I went into a shop called The Entertainer, which I presume these are actually available at our shop. I call it our shop because they're our sponsors. That's whowon.co.uk. What is it, Mary? Oh, dear, she's not there. Obviously, they've brought out these 3.75-inch figures. Now, these are made by Character, which obviously make all the 5-inch figures. I'm a little bit dismayed because everybody has a collection of the 5-inch figures, which you like adding to from time to time, or you do have them. All right, I'll rephrase that.
A lot of people have the
5-inch figure. You see, I have a collection. Well, you could buy the box set, the 11 Doctors
Except
box
the blood
set.
Figures.
What? You can buy the 11 Doctors box set in 5-inch
collection.
Be quiet.
Yes.
But now they've brought out a collection of 3.75-inch figures, which do not tally in or tie in with the rest of the collection that we've had for the last 7 years. The boss at Character, obviously, who make them.
I think I have an explanation for this.
Go on.
They're cheaper to make.
Yeah,
but then they're nowhere near as good quality. I mean, that's not the point. If they're worried about how much it's going to cost to make, increase the price a little bit. I don't care about the price. People will like these things.
Yeah, well, not only that, but you have to keep in mind, I think it was on the Doctor Who News page a while back, that Character Options had mentioned that they were having financial difficulties and that the Doctor Who line was not selling as strong as it had. So that may explain then 3.75-inch figures are cheaper to make. As you said, they're not of the quality, so.
No, so that means these 5-inch figures, everybody has a collection for. When the 12th Doctor comes out, it won't be part of the collection because it's a completely different scale.
I know you, man. Adam, what are they going to do? Tired anymore.
Yeah, that too. But, I mean, the 11th Doctor figure is nowhere near as it's good, but it's nowhere near as good as, you know, as far as the way it looks. I mean, the one of Clara is just ridiculous. It looks more like Caitlin, friend of the show.
Blackwood.
Let me get the words out. Caitlin Blackwood, but with dark hair. But I've got the little Amelia Pond figure up on my shelf somewhere anyway, and it does look a little bit like that, especially with the red bag. But, yeah, I looked at them, thought, and then I thought, nah, I'm not going to buy these because they don't conform to the rest of the collection I have. Although I would like to get a Clara figure, just to add to it, so I can put next to the Doctor his current companion, what was current.
He won't have the current Doctor.
Now she's just a midget character now, isn't she?
Still current Doctor at the moment, because I haven't announced the new one. Although favourite, Ben Daniels, looks like he's not going to be playing the Doctor, according to the odds on Who. And it also looks like it's going to be quite a while before we actually find out who it's actually going to be.
Yeah.
Probably. But I suspect when they start filming, unless they have some...
Well,
you know.
There are two ways I'd like it to go. I'd either like to know pretty soon or until he regenerates on screen.
Never going to find that, because somebody will see the Doctor being filmed on location and will spill the beans.
I still say it's already happened.
What's already happened? They've cast.
He's already been cast. They've already filmed the regeneration scene.
No, they haven't filmed the regeneration yet. We know that for a fact because they haven't shot the Christmas special.
But they could have
they could
ahead of time.
Yeah. You can always green screen it.
That's true.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway, does it?
Patrick Stewart, when you make a point, Kirby. Ah.
Make it so, number one.
Ah.
Mr. Crusher?
Well,
yeah, sorry.
It was Picard Day over the weekend.
Was it? Oh, well, let's get. I mean, I made a couple of suggestions for the new Doctor on Twitter. William Shatner.
Oh, no.
It's about older Doctors. Wouldn't it be fantastic to get William Shatner to play the Doctor? I have three. Yeah. No. Ray. Did. But
George
no, it'd be great.
I have regenerated.
Or indeed, Patrick Stewart.
Grace?
If you're going to have older actors, no.
I am the Doctor!
A couple of iconic ones you could have. That's nowhere near as loud as Brian Blessed.
Yes.
By the way, last week, be quiet. Last week we alluded to the big news. In fact, it was Matthew who said about the big Finnish news that was coming up. It hadn't quite been announced by the time we recorded last week. But the news was, of course, that they've had their license review to cover 2016. As I suspected, I didn't actually say it on the show because I said, they've had their license revoked, which is just me being a bit, you know.
And I told you if that happened, I would never forgive you.
Correct.
Oh, I
Okay. Shut up. Guests announced for BFI's two Doctor screening, Fraser Hines, Tony Selby and Eric Saywood, plus visual effects designer Mike Kelt, will be the special guest at the BFI screening of the two Doctors. That's on Saturday the 15th of June. Oh, we missed it. Right.
It does seem a bit weird. This is the first screening where they've showed a story with a living Doctor that the Doctor has not been there.
Ah, there you go.
I'm still wondering if there's some animosity between Colin Baker and Eric Stayward, because the one story that Colin Baker did not do the audio commentary on was Revelation of the Daleks, where Stayward was on the commentary.
Quite possibly. Does look that way, doesn't it? There's some June releases of Big Finish Productions, Prisoner of Fate, Peter Davison's story, Council of War, which is a sort of Benton story.
Yeah, it's and a Companion Chronicle, which is the first time.
It's like there's an echo every time Adam says something, Robert repeats it.
Yeah, it's weird, that, isn't it? It's like Midnight all over again, isn't it? Anyway, sorry, you were saying, you were describing Council of War. I do apologise, Matthew. Apologise, Matthew.
I was merely mentioning this is the first time that John Levine has recorded anything for Big Finish.
Cool. I bet he's over the top with it as well, but that remains to be seen. You know what John Levine's like.
I've heard stories.
Yes. Dalek Contract, which is Tom Baker with Mary Tam.
That's a two-parter, by the way.
Is it?
The next one finishes off the Mary Tam series.
Yeah, and it should be mentioned that the Dalek Contract also features amongst its cast a friend of the show, Toby Haydock.
Toby Haydock, yes. And I'm glad you pronounced that correctly, because we don't want to fall into the sort of Trevor Gench way of pronouncing things.
Hi, Trev.
He doesn't listen to the show. What are you talking about? Somebody does, though. Oh, still does listen to the show. Jeffrey Berman. Hello, Jeff. I was so delighted to hear that he still listens to the show. Remember Jeff? No? Why not? Well, I do. If I remember him, that's good. I'm glad you have. Yes, he's a media professional. I think he probably listens to this show just to sort of bring himself down to earth. Yeah, go on, Robert.
I was going to add something to the news, is that next Sunday, June 23rd, at 1 p.m, I guess that will be sometime in the U.S., wherever.
It will be sometime in the U.S., I guarantee it will be.
Some point.
I don't know, yeah. Central Standard Time or whatever it could be, but they're doing, I think you guys have received invites for Daphne Ashbrook to, they're watching
I
online.
Have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Daphne Ashbrook has received an invite to come back on the show.
Ooh, excellent. Mm.
She said no, didn't she?
Which has been accepted. but, it's strange that the Robert's shot sound effect sounds much the same as his hiccups.
How do you know? I've never heard him hiccup. He's always just shocked.
Yeah, so look forward to having Daphne back on the show. Don't quite know when yet, because it was only today, I think, Vito replied to my request, invitation, I should say. She said she'd very much like to come back on the show, so look forward to that. Last thing on the news was that David Tennant has...
Pardon? She has opened this time around, so we can actually hear her.
Yeah, we'll try and sort that side of things out as well. There might have been a few other rings. There might have been Alicia on as well. So we'll just try and sort something out. Anyway, David Tennant has won a Daytime Emmy for his voice work on Cartoon Network's Star Wars The Clone Wars series. Well done, David. And that's it for news this week. All right, has anybody else got anything else to say? Anything interesting happened that I've been unaware of that's happened this weekend? Because I might have been a bit out of the loop in relation to Doctor Who.
Well, I don't know if it happened.
I'm sure Matthew
weekend.
Has.
Well, I don't know if it's it happened over the weekend or if it's anything particularly interesting. But it is interesting for me. Big Finish have announced some details. We mentioned last week, but it ended up off air, that Louise Jameson has co-written a
friend
Doctor
of the
Who
show.
Score.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, we spoke about it last week. Yeah,
yeah, which I think actually ended up off air when I listened to the episode the other day.
Quite possibly, yes. Sorry, yeah.
It will be released next July, and it's called The Abandoned, and the co-star in it. Where is it? I was just reading. Is Stephanie Cole, who was with Louise Jameson in Tenko. So if you go out to the Big Finish website at the moment, which is bigfinish.com, you will see a headline, which is Tenko Reunion, which takes you to more details about it.
Cool. The thing about Tenko, which was brilliant, but the fact that obviously she did Tenko after Doctor Who, and watching it as a young lad, was quite shocked when she got her boobs out on it. Tenko, that is. I thought, oh, my God. Because all those time we watched Leela in that outfit and thinking, oh, well, wouldn't be nice if... You know, one happened to pop out, and then you go and watch Tenko, and they're both out in full view. But anyway, before we move on to feedback, which
Debbie,
there again isn't
you?
Hardly any, is Kirby gone?
No.
I'm going to start cooking the dog's dinner. I'll be back in a moment after these short messages. Welcome to the world of football mad Troy Brown, a typical 15-year-old with a loving family, a tight-knit group of friends, and a nice house in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. Materially, he has a comfortable life, but then no hormone-ridden, angst-filled teenager would ever describe their life as comfortable, and Troy was no exception. Plagued as he was, the whole world is against me complex, no girlfriend syndrome, and the pains of requited love or lust, and the usual horde of teenage frustrations and obsessions. A privileged peek into his private, warts and all, 2003 diary reveals transformation of his boring, ordinary life as Troy tries to negotiate his many twists and turns in what was to become the most extraordinary year of his life. Fraught with family secrets, misunderstandings, dangerous liaisons, challenging adventures, shocking realities, and unexpected outcomes, interspersed with teenage insights into the state of the world, including war, crime, death, and disease. As you travel with Troy on his one-year life-changing journey, You will undoubtedly laugh at the adolescent humour, cry at his misfortune, sympathise with his plights and empathise with his feelings as he works through his personal traumas and is forced to learn by his mistakes. Be warned, however, those of a sensitive disposition may also be shocked by some of the diary's content, possibly offended. But you are, after all, delving into the grimy mind of a pubescent youth. The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin by Adam Pearson. Available as a paper book or as an e-book from Amazon and iTunes. And if you're interested in the sequel, From Troy to Man, Troy Brown resumes his diary. He is 17 and he desperately wants to leave home and start his life as a bachelor. He has just been dumped by his first proper girlfriend, and not because he has accidentally cheated on her twice during their relationship. She wants to play the field. Most of his friends have moved away from the island, and life out of school proves to be quite a challenge for him. Troy is forced to grow up because of his incredible ability to make mistakes. His mistakes, as usual, are of a sexual nature, and the consequences of unprotected sex begin to appear, seemingly out of thin air. Faced with fatherhood and separation from his children, Troy's attitude to life changes forever. His main concern isn't football anymore. It is how the hell is he going to be able to be a real father to his children, and how many children has he got? Of course, his life is full of the other problems associated with day-to-day life. Will he ever find a true love? Will he ever find a job that he is truly happy in? Can he solve a murder mystery? Can he avoid being murdered himself? Will he ever be able to be a true father to his children? All of these questions are answered in this book. If you thought that being a 15-year-old virgin was enough of a rollercoaster ride for Troy, read on. This year and a half of his life may leave you needing to ingest a large dose of motion pills. From Troy to Man is available as an e-book from Amazon and from iTunes. If you're a fan of quizzes, and happened also to be a fan of the Beatles, why not buy The Beatles Quiz Book by Adam Pearson? It is available as an e-book from Amazon or from iTunes.
Hi, Alicia.
Hello.
Peter.
Peter!
Peter!
Probably can't hear us, by the way.
Probably.
I used to watch Tenko back in the day, but I don't remember.
Magic, what are you doing? What are you eating?
Uh-oh.
Have you just given the dog something
to eat?
I didn't give the dog anything, Adam.
No,
I didn't either.
Emily.
Stop flapping your ears.
Sorry.
Okay, right then, let's move on to 4DO feedback. And as I said, my request for feedback last year obviously fell on deaf ears. Which makes implies nobody was listening to the show, and I know full well people were indeed listening to the show. I beg your pardon?
That means you spoke to me because they fell on deaf ears.
Oh, God. Reese, you did that one wrong. It's... Yeah, okay.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. As far as I can tell, this is my 100th feedback.
Hey.
I missed a couple of episodes, and there have been a couple of specials. I sent an email which is read out in 20 Megabyte episode 66.
Who's written this one? Ian Kirk again. Good old Ian. And I'll try and read it a bit more. You know. The idea of immortality being a curse is not new. In the lesser known third... This is obviously about Torchwood. Third voyage of Gulliver's travels, he learns of a group of immortal humans. He says it must be wonderful to live forever, but is told that when they grow old and sick, they... their continued existence is horrible. And there's a Wikipedia link to that, which I'm not going to read out because it's too long. Captain Jack uses the name Owen Harper. Oh, that's quite interesting, because I did spot that.
When did he use that?
I think that when he first appears, she asks him his name, and he says...
No, oh. It's when they go into the autopsy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right, when they're sort of in sort of undercover. They go into the autopsy. The blown-up man. Remember the blown-up man? Under the sheet? Yeah. And he goes by the name of Owen Harper, obviously the name of his old colleague from Torchwood. Victoria Beckham has called her new child Harper 7. I don't know if she's a fan. I thought it was conceived at 7:30.
No, that's because it was born early evening, and they said, what time was our child born? And someone said 7:30.
Oh, that's right. It's normally when they conceive the Beckhams, though, isn't it? I hope that's not going too far over your head, Kirby. Oh, he's gone to sleep.
Really? No.
What are these English people talking about?
The medical investigation of the suicide bomb was very grisly. It was, actually, wasn't it? But it was meant to be. But I didn't have a problem with that. I thought I would, but I didn't. But when the eyes opened, when the head was completely severed, it was a bit... Bleh. But I couldn't... It was a bit weird where the eyes were so blue. I know I was expecting it, yeah, but they were so blue and perfect. You would have thought the eyes would have been slightly damaged as well, even under the eyelids, but hey-ho. Strangely, the explosives were around his chest, but it's the least damaged area of his body. That's a good point. Damage is worse on his right leg. I wonder if Captain Jack suggested cutting the bomber's head off in revenge for trying to kill him. Maybe so. It was odd that Gwen held a baby as she went to shoot at the helicopter. Well, who else was going to hold the baby? Any ideas? Oh.
Sorry, mate, what?
I'm talking about this baby, right? And I will obviously allude to this later on, but a very cute baby. I did point out on Facebook the baby was really cute. Obviously, they had to pick a cute baby, but it was really weird because the baby seemed to smile during the shooting. And obviously, it looked generated, computer generated, this smile. There's something, I think they're implying there's something not quite normal about this child.
Oh, I think what it is, it's one of these new generation of children that gets brought up on video games and things like that, and so therefore when it sees its mum firing a real gun in real life, thinks it's a game, smiles.
Maybe. I think it's that this child has got something to do with it. I seem to remember that the hard-hitting thing at the end of the previous Torchwood series was him having to sort of let his grandson die, Captain Jack. Yes. Is this child going to be like a lamb to the slaughter at the end of this series to put things back? Because obviously he's the only one there that isn't immortal now. So obviously his powers, if you like, have transferred to the whole of the human race, because it seemed to have coincided. It started when he arrived back on Earth. I may be wrong.
Well, we don't know that's when he arrived.
I don't allude to anything from episode 2, by the way, Kirby, because I'm sure you've seen
it.
Didn't he say that he'd just turned back up at the beginning of the episode after all the stuff had started going off? Didn't he kind of allude to the fact he'd just come back?
Yeah, I think he did.
He did at some point. He said, "I've just come back."
Recently, he had come back recently, but he certainly didn't have enough time to gather all that equipment in that empty apartment.
Okay. But he certainly whizzed around a lot, didn't he? Because he was in Wales, and he was in first of all, he was in the US, and he was back in Wales, and he was back in the US, so he certainly did a lot of flitting around.
He's collecting air miles.
I've heard that the US and UK versions were different. Watched both versions, but didn't notice any difference. Did you notice any difference, Kirby? Have you seen both versions?
I have not seen both versions. All I have is the American.
Okay. Have you seen both versions, Ben?
May have done.
So, did you notice any difference?
No.
No, okay, well, there you go.
No,
then.
I didn't.
You got the first
In
one?
In that one, Ben Chubbley did part of the podcast wearing a towel. The episode we are reviewing this time has Matt Smith in a towel, so I thought I would wear one as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
The modular by Gareth Roberts. This one might have been called The Tenant. James Corden and Daisy Haggard are good as Craig and Sophie. People make fun of how many Doctor Who stories are set in London, so the only way is Essex. Mm. This one is set in Colchester, and Craig says he doesn't see the point of London. Sometimes things done at the end of an episode affect things earlier in the episode, as Amy writing the note for the Doctor to go to Craig's. Presumably the Doctor also goes back in time to arrange for Craig's flatmate to receive a fortune and leave.
Yes.
In the previous story, future Rory appears waving at the beginning but not at the end, having been removed from reality. It depends on the script. Right, I'd better put some clothes on.
Fetch me my trousers at once. No, not those. Those are my time travel trousers.
Bye for now.
Goodbye, Ian, and congratulations on your 100th feedback. See, that's what we're looking at, listeners. Yeah. People are providing feedback every week. It's not absolutely necessary, but it would be nice.
Violently.
Yes. But, yeah, I think more or less he was agreeing with you, Reese.
Yes. Yes. Of course, he should.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm going to tempt fate here.
Yes, of course. They should.
I'm going to tempt fate here because I'm waiting on a phone call from Deb for her being moved from...
Can you pick me up?
Exactly. Can you pick me up? Correct. And now it's... Be quiet. And now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. And on this week's show, we have, the person who we thought would be winning every week and has been failing quite dismally on that score, and will probably win this week because I've said that, Matthew Kressel.
Okay.
And Robert, I use my notes to get my answers, Haynes.
What notes? They don't need any help.
How many pages of notes do you have, Robert?
I've got a couple of sentences which were going to be introductory lines. That was it.
And we have Kirby objecting to Robert using notes because it's against the rules. Bartlett Sloan. And yes. Reese, no, it isn't Parton.
I've got a reference from the Archbishop of Canterbury. I'm his special favourite.
And the first question this week goes to Matthew. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Adam.
Are you ready?
Ready as all ever be.
Have you watched the episode this week?
Yes, I did.
Is the correct answer. Ooh. The next question goes... I'm joking. That was a joke. That was a joke. Right. Now, this is the real question for Matthew. Where is the Doctor checking to see where they have not landed? That will be at the beginning of the episode, because these are in order, you see.
Crab.
No.
No, wasn't landing crap.
They might have landed on some crap, but they landed in a field, or even cow crap. But on this occasion, that's not the answer. No.
Anybody?
Are you still working it out, Matthew, or you want to move on?
Move on.
Okay. Anybody would like to come in with the answer for a point?
I know it. I think.
Go on then.
I'm going to start pronouncing the word better. It's the sixth moon of Cinder. Callista?
Is the correct answer.
Callista! What?
Oh.
What do you mean, what? That's the answer,
you got it?
Yes, that's a correct answer. What are you saying what for?
Grace!
Right.
What?
How many times did you watch this?
Once.
No.
Don't
it's
cry.
It's hard for me.
Right, Robert, this is your question. What colour is the front door of Craig's house?
Is it like a maroon, something like that?
Yeah, a bit more basic than
reddish,
that.
Reddish.
Correct.
Reddish. Yeah.
Hey.
I'm not going to go and put a... I'm not going to put a Pantone swatch against it to see what colour it comes up. Oh, Pantone 327. It's going to be a basic colour.
Right, then. My wife is making a TARDIS quilt for the geek daughter, and I had to look up the Pantone
Julia,
color.
That would be Julia.
Yes. I had to look up the Pantone colour of the TARDIS for...
Oh,
I'm sure the TARDIS had a few different Pantone colours in its time. Kirby, this is your question. What number is Craig's address? I'd say that again. What is Craig's address? Well, I put the number in there for... What is Craig's address?
I don't know. Someplace in Colchester.
No. Anyone would like to come in with the correct answer?
It was number 7 something, wasn't it?
No. No, the answer was...
79...
73...
Not the right. It's all wrong. The answer is 79A Aikman Road was the actual answer. I was looking.
I said I've got a seven right.
That's not good enough.
Well,
right.
79.
This question goes.
I don't recall a road.
Well, I do. It was shown twice. Well, watch the episode and you'll see it quite clearly, written on an envelope and on an envelope. Right, but it was shown twice.
I already took the DVD out.
Well, watch it towards the end when the headbutt happens.
Put your DVD away.
Watch the headbutt scene and you'll see the address. Right.
Ow!
Right, this is for Reese, a fan of this episode, so he should get this one right. What's the plan for the night? That's for, obviously, for Craig.
Oh, I said that at the beginning of the episode.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Right.
Why didn't I get that one?
Because it wasn't your turn. Matthew, this is your question. What does the doctor suppose the ceiling stain is?
An overenthusiastic masticator.
Be quiet.
I didn't like that.
It's like a whole list of things he gives at one point.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
Right, time's up.
Was it when he said it's some sort of rotten, call me the Rotmeister and stuff like that?
Not quite the answer to that particular question. The quite answer is dry rot.
Dry rot. Right.
Yes. Next question goes to Robert. Robert?
Yes?
Who was the previous tenant of the Doctor's room?
Was it Ben?
According to magic, it was Row Row. Go on, who won't come in with the correct answer? I heard...
The landlord.
Did you say row, row?
Mark is the correct answer. Magic said row, row. Wow. He went row, row. Right, so Reese, a point for Reese. Right, Kirby, this is your question.
Okay.
How does Craig sum up his job to the doctor?
Oh, I know. It's just a job.
Not quite. I'd like to use the words he used, because that's obviously the point.
I don't even remember that.
I don't remember.
Go on then, Matthew.
He's a phone drone in the cold.
It's a correct answer.
Oh, yes.
Right, next question goes to Reese. Where did the doctor learn to cook?
He kept changing the date, but he learned in Paris in the 18th century. Yes. No, 17th.
Correct.
No, 20th.
Correct. You only got one correct. Goodness sake. Right then, after round one, well, actually two rounds, really, the current scores are in last place with no points, Kirby. In third place with one point, Matthew. In second place with 2 points, Robert. And in the lead with 6 points, Reese, only because Mary's not here.
You.
Right then. Next question goes to Matthew.
True. Very true.
What does Sophie surmise that the doctor might be?
A dealer.
Is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Robert. What TARDIS control does Amy have a bit of trouble with?
I know.
Okay.
I can't remember their names, though.
Okay. If you don't remember their names, it's if there's two and you don't remember them, you don't know them, do you? Who would like to come in?
Who had their hand up first?
Was that Kirby? Go on, Kirby. No, Kirby.
The zigzag plotter.
Is the correct answer for a point. Right, so Kirby. Kirby.
Yes.
What colour towel does the doctor put on when he has to rush out of the shower?
I know.
I don't know.
Okay, I heard Robert say, I know first.
Mm-hmm. It's a light blue, isn't it?
Again, it's not a Pantone question.
Just
blue
say blue.
Is, good grief.
Blue, sorry.
Blue is sufficient. Thank you. Reese.
Yes.
Where is Dom preventing him from playing football? Oh, what the? Yeah, where is Dom? Which stops him from playing football, I should have said in the question. Does that make sense? Dom? Yeah. I'll ask the question again so you understand it. Where is Dom?
It does make sense, but I don't know. It's a puzzle.
Okay, anybody know where Dom is?
It's the player who the doctor replaces.
Yes. Where is he then? Where is he while the doctor...
I don't know.
Wasn't he sick or something?
No, the answer is Malta.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I thought funny about tennis scene? The football scene?
Yeah.
When they're saying, we're going to annihilate them. And he says, no, there'll be no violence that whatsoever.
I did mention
he's
that.
Saying, yeah. I missed that.
Okay, right. Sorry. Next question goes to Matthew.
Matthew?
Yes.
Sorry.
Right, yes, this
sorry.
Question is, oh. Who wears the number 9 shirt for the King's Arms? Basically, what's his name?
No Wikipedia.
I'm going to guess Craig.
Is wrong. Anybody else?
Not the Doctor. Is it the guy who he tells...
Yeah, it's got to be his name.
That they're not going to... Okay, well, I don't know.
The answer is Sean. Next question goes to Robert.
Is he a sheep?
Yes, sir.
Who will... King's
Arms... Like
be quiet!
Who I like Sean the
be
sheep.
Be quiet. Who will the King's Arms be playing next week?
Oh, that's the team they're going to annihilate. Who was it? I can't remember.
Right. Anybody else remember the answer?
I don't know.
You won't. Obviously, it's a you won't get this one.
Yes.
The answer is...
That's the question.
Do you want the question again?
It's the one that... Yeah.
What team are they playing next week? The King's Arms. What team are they playing next week?
I thought you gave the answer away. No, I can't.
It's the Crown and Anchor. All right, next
oh,
question
that's
goes...
Right.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Next question goes to Kirby. Kirby, who does Sophie not yeah. want to bother her on the phone? So basically, she wants to spend the evening with Craig, and she does something to the phone, and so this person will not bother her. Who's that person? Her name.
I know, I don't remember the name.
Anybody?
Thanks for that post, Kirby, just then, as you're
he
doing
knows
the,
he doesn't remember her name.
Does anybody... Anybody come up with the
What's
answer?
What's this, sorry? Can you
oh,
start
God,
to me again? What was the question?
Who does Sophie not want to bother her on the phone so she can spend the night in with Craig?
Oh, that's that phone call that she gets, wasn't it?
Clearly.
Oh, I know.
Go
I think
on
I remember.
Go on then, Matthew.
Melina?
There's the correct answer.
Yeah, Melina. Oh, I just remembered.
And you didn't look that up
I
at all,
it
did you?
Started... No, I didn't. It took me forever. I kept thinking Monica for some reason.
Okay, right. Reese, it's your question.
Yeah.
What does Sophie see on the telly that inspired her?
Oh, a documentary about working with animals?
Not quite right. No, it has to be specific. Go
All
on
right,
then.
Well, if it has to be specific, go to Matthew.
Go on, Matthew.
It's a documentary about an orangutan shelter.
I'll give you that. It's a sanctuary, but it's the same sort of thing. So oh, I'll give you that. For the, yeah. Right then. So the scores are...
Asia.
In last place with 1 point...
In last place...
Kirby. In third place with 3 points, Robert. In second place with 5 points, Matthew. And in the lead with still 6 points, Reese.
Not accepting that.
Right.
Oh, I'll be better next week because I've seen... the next to many times.
Oh, yes.
Many times.
I'm liking this. I'm actually getting questions this week.
Yes, you would, Matthew, yeah. if you're getting towards the top of the leaderboard, you would be liking it.
You're near the top of the leaderboard, Robert.
Unlike me and Kirby, who are dwindling down at the back.
Well, we can't help that.
We're not liking it at all.
Right. So the next question then goes to Matthew.
Yes.
You should get this one, Matthew. What does Craig call the stain just before he touches it?
Dry rot?
Nope. Anybody come in with the answer?
Nope.
Okay, somebody did say the answer earlier on. It's the Rotmeister.
Oh, Reese!
You
should have gotten
that. He called the doctor that, not the stain.
Yeah.
Well, he said the Rotmeister. Oh, for God's sake! I'm still
Martin
sticking.
The doctor. I'm getting a point for that because you asked a question.
Yeah, he was the Rotmeister refers to the doctor, not the stain.
But he was about to touch the stain
That's
when he said
what
it.
Said.
That's
but
the
you
point.
Said,
I was
what did he call the stain, though?
But it's not like he was looking at the stain. When he said it, which made it look like he was saying it to the stain.
No, he was
Adam's right. I just pulled up the transcript of the episode. He's right.
Yeah, he says
he does
it.
Say
but it's
it
not
to
referring
the, stain, but he's talking about the doctor because the doctor said, "Call me the Rotmeister."
Second
he's just laughing about the name.
Anyway,
Craig is clearing up after Sophie's visit and looks up at the ceiling. Curious, he steps onto a chair. He starts to reach out, but stops. Craig, the Rotmeister, touches the stain and receives a shock. Al steps down to Jake's pants.
Yeah, but he's not referring to the stain. Yeah, the stain is not the
problem. Can we just to cut this pedantic nonsense down to a very minimum, Matthew summed it up. Adam is right. And if you're not careful, deducting
Adam
points.
Adam and Matthew are wrong.
I'll be deducting points if you're not careful. Right then, I have the scoreboard here, by the way.
You can't do that. Robert,
raise the question.
Yes, I can. Robert, this is your question.
Yes. No, you can't.
What? Be quiet. What is on the teapot the doctor uses to administer his medicine to Craig?
I know that one.
Diana.
It's the correct answer.
Right. I wanted that question.
Kirby, you got this question. What is the name of one of Craig's best clients?
Who are?
I don't remember.
Anybody else?
Is it Mayor?
Mr. Lane.
Here's the correct answer, Reese.
Yes.
I
would have been a bit disappointed if I didn't get that one, because obviously Mary's Mary Lang, and I thought you might have... Never mind. This is Reese's question.
Oh dear, yeah.
Reese's Pieces.
Which incarnation of the Doctor does Craig not see when he gets
just
the headbutt?
Just say hello. Just say
it's
hello.
It's not the answer.
Come on.
Anyway, it's not your question. It's not your question, Robert.
Say hello.
Hello,
let her say hello.
Hello, Joss.
Yes.
What am I shouting for? All the better, all the better for hearing you.
Sorry.
No, I'm shouting. All the better for hearing you. Pardon?
I'm shouting too.
Yeah, well, you can shout. You're not near the microphone. I am right next to my microphone. There's no need for me to shout. It's silly, really,
isn't it? Stop me while she's shouting.
See you later.
Bye.
Hi.
Right. This is Reese's question.
But now she shut me in the bloody dark.
Good.
Thanks.
Good. That means you can't check your notes. Reese, this is your question. Oh, hang on. We had an answer to that one. Sorry. We'd already had the question, which was, which incarnation of the Doctor does Craig not get to see after the headbutt?
Not get to see.
Incorrect. I'm going to have to give up the answer. One incarnation is not shown.
I'm going to guess.
Fifth Doctor?
I'm going to give that to Robert because he said it correctly. It was the fifth, yes. That's the only one we don't get to see.
Yeah. I think there are a few more than that you don't get to see.
Well, if you watch it very slowly and freeze frame it, the only one that doesn't
pop up
the fifth Doctor. They all show up.
Yeah, they go through it so fast you can't do the standard count, which was interesting last week during opening ceremonies at the convention. The entire room did a count of all of the doctors when they were flashed on the screen.
Excellent. Right then, after that round, the current scores are in last place with 1 point, Kirby. In third place with 5 points, Matthew. In second place with 6 points, Robert. And in the lead with 7 points, Reese. Right, next question is for Matthew.
Yes.
I've done that one, sorry. Yeah. Right, what does the Doctor call himself to the emergency crash program?
Troy Handsome of International Rescue.
Is the spot on correct answer.
Yeah.
I would have accepted Captain Troy Handsome of the what you just said anyway. Next question
is the nature of your emergency,
Robert. What does Craig say when he places his hand on the button?
Oh, I know.
Reese,
Geronimo.
Yes,
correct.
Oh yes, that's right. Damn,
of course it's right.
Commentary thing. I mean the subtitles.
Kirby. This is your question.
Yes, I'll get it wrong.
How many people are there in the world before the birth of...
When the episode
Do you
comes?
Want the exact or just the...
The doctor says how many people are in the world. Yes, the exact amount, yes. Please.
I don't remember the exact amount, sorry.
God. Anybody like to come in with the exact amount?
6,400,000...
Are you looking it up?
You didn't read that at all.
He's got a transcript.
Well, I closed the transcript so I couldn't cheat. I promise, swear to God, I'll take a picture of the screen
Never
right
mind,
now
never mind. Want. Just give me the answer.
I know it's 6,400,020.
Oh, it's so close. I'll have to give you the point. It's 6,400,026, yes.
My God, I can't believe I remembered that.
That's pretty cool.
I can't believe you remembered that.
And I got so tangled up, I've forgotten whose question that was. That was Reese's question. Right, we'll get back round to Matthew now. I think. I know we're not. We've only got three questions left. So these are free for alls. Two questions left for free for all that. So call out your name if you know the answer, and I'll allow you to have a go at it. That's what she said. right. What is spelled out in magnetic letters on Craig's fridge?
Oh, your name.
Dr. Rocks.
That was... point deducted for Robert. Because he jumped in with the answer rather than calling out his name.
I said your name.
And Reese, the answer was?
The Dr. Rocks.
Is the correct answer. Right, next question.
Hey!
Right, I said remember your name, though.
Remember the word. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, for God's sake. That sucks, does it? No, the doctor sucks. No, rocks.
No, rocks.
Oh, well, right then. Well, I'll just deduct a point from Robert for jumping in. The answer was, in fact, the doctor rocks. Right, next question. This is the last question. Last question. And remember the rules. Shout out your name. Well, it was. That was one of the two. I said there were two. That was one of the two. The one I just asked
you. You said there were three.
I got it wrong. This is the last question.
Okay.
We're supposed to be pedantic, or at least I am.
What is playing up again in the TARDIS? Call out your name when you know the answer.
An answer is required.
Just get on with it, for goodness sake.
I don't know the answer.
All right.
I don't either.
But what is it? Is it a system in the TARDIS?
I don't either. The answer is the rectifier.
I was going to say it.
Rectifier.
Well, why didn't you?
Exactly.
Because I didn't. Yes. I wanted to know I was
therefore,
getting the question right.
Concludes
precisely.
The quiz for this
I wanted to know if I was getting the question right, and I could have been saying perception filter, and that would have been wrong.
So the final scores are, in last place, Kirby with 1 point. In second place, Robert with 5 points. And the joint winners with 8 points is Matthew and Reese.
So
I haven't got a tiebreaker question, unfortunately.
Right. That is really funky.
I just have to fight it out. Arm wrestling.
Right.
Come on, Robert. Arm wrestle.
Fair enough. Anyway.
Happy graduation for Mary's daughter. Isn't it?
Yes. It certainly is. Yes. Yes.
I hope so.
Yeah. I'm just going to have a quick look at the Facebook page to see if anything's come up on it that's...
popped up.
Right, yeah, so is there anything on here? There's...
Yeah, Ian posted that on BBC iPlayer, there's a one-hour radio program of John Pertwee talking about his life. So there's a link to that on the Facebook page. So I'd like to listen to that.
That'd be good.
Sounds pretty good.
Apparently, I was on the telly on Saturday because local BBC News pointed the camera at us and we were all on there. My mum sort of came up and said it was on South Today. But unfortunately, South Today can't be bothered to put anything on iPlayer, so I haven't seen it. And also yesterday, during, I think it was during Bon Jovi, the actual in festival.
Oh, we're halfway there!
In festival camera pointed at us and all the people that knew me in the crowds said that they'd seen me up on the big screen. No, I was sort of miming the words to the song into camera, just looking straight into it. So hopefully I'll get some positive comments. Probably not. Oh, for goodness sake. Yes.
Where's
I've got headphones on, so I can't hear you. What?
Pizza!
She's already, eating
pizza.
The pizza.
The house of
pizza. She can't be bothered to get off her backside.
Well, speaking of, if I may, speaking backside. Of things taking forever, the news to forever.
Yeah, I know
Let me try
doing.
Saying that one
yeah,
more
say
time.
That. Yeah, go on.
Speaking of...
Not eating, are you?
No, actually, I wasn't in the military. I was drinking something just a second ago.
There you go. As
I'm
it's
wrong, guys. That.
Alicia,
Touché.
Haven't you got a Father's Day present for me?
Oh. And for me? And for
Alicia,
me too.
What about me? Hey?
What about me?
Alicia?
It isn't fair.
Did she at least wish
have you not
a
got a Father's Day present for me? Your mum said that you had a Father's Day. Well, it's not good up there as Father's Day ended like 12 hours and 35 minutes ago.
Grace, 14 minutes ago, posted on Staggering Stories.
What, insulted our show on Staggering Stories? It's not very nice.
Well, he's got, I'm sure somebody, someone head agrees with this. And that class is why John Pertwee was the best doctor. Says, I always take it for granted that they will do. Yeah. Timeline photo. So that's what Reese gets up to when he's doing.
Yeah, why did they get that and we didn't?
Yes,
because
Reese.
They've got the head of Pertwee.
Yeah.
He's our head of Pertwee.
No, fair enough. Talking of Father's Day, I know exactly what Alicia has, and I'm doing that little inverted comma thing with my fingers at the moment, got me for Father's Day, because I bought it myself, gave it to Deb, and Deb's packaged it up for Alicia to give to me. It is, in fact, the Mind of Evil DVD, which I wouldn't mind having now. It's gone well past Father's Day.
But I've got it.
I've got it.
So has Kirby.
Yes, well, you can get ointment for that sort of thing.
I know you've got an evil mind, Robert. We've known this for a while.
I watched all.
And
the
you've got a mind
already,
of smut.
I haven't watched the other one.
Yes,
doing things back to front.
Yes.
I look forward to purchasing it when I sort out what's wrong with my laptop.
By the way,
yeah,
Lady S or Lady Soliloquy, known to us, friend of the show. Yes. I did eventually get round to sending off the thing to her that I wanted to send off to her, by the way, which was the Doctor Who script I wrote about 3 years ago. Fortunately, she enjoyed it, and she would know, because she's quite good up on that sort of thing, and she says, I must do something with it, and I said, I fully intend to do so. So, casting will...
And here's the rubbish bin.
...begin soon for this particular audio production. Ooh. It'll take some time to put together, but it will happen, and casting will begin soon. The ability to do voice acting will help, because if you can't really do it, sorry.
That's all us then, isn't it?
that's us all, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Reese will be approached. I can tell you Reese will be approached to play one of the parts in the production. And hopefully if Lady S will play a part, that'd be nice. If you're listening, Lady S, please get back to me.
She does listen.
Sorry? She does what?
Listen.
I know she does.
Listen.
Yes. So, yes, that'll be...
Lady S.
It will take a long time to put this together, by the way. But it is something I have been meaning to do for a long, long time. And, yes, anyway, enough of that. Thanks for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who the cast. Oh, go on.
Before I got interrupted a minute ago and I could not get my words out, you were talking about the fact that your news would not... news... that your news was taking forever to put stuff up. Our local CBS station here did an excellent news story about the convention and then took the better part of a week to finally put it online so people could see it.
Is it online now?
Kirby posted it on to the Facebook group a couple of days ago.
I haven't seen that yet. As I said, I have been a bit waylaid this weekend, so I haven't seen that yet. I'll look forward to seeing it. Thank you for that. Anything else, Matthew?
Not that I can think of. Hold on, I'm fixing to bump it to the top of the page. And Adam, you were... Adam,
ouch!
There we go. And I tagged you, Adam, so you should get a notification in a second.
Thank you very much. Excellent.
You're welcome.
What about me?
No, never mind, Robert.
What about him?
It isn't fair.
Just to talk about the convention for a second.
He wants to talk about the convention for a second. Shut up! Go on, then.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Go on.
I don't have the exact number of attendees yet, but I can tell you that we had approximately 1,000 people show up for the convention, which means that we doubled our attendance from last year, which we are quite happy about. And we are starting planning for Conquistadors 2014.
Superb.
Which hopefully we can all come to.
Chance will be a fine thing.
And I would lotto.
Yeah.
Maybe you could import an Australian as a fan guest of honor.
If I had my way about it, we'd do that. But
just remember to put air holes in the crate.
Yes, convincing the rest of the convention staff to do that is the hard part.
Okay. Anyway.
If you're all done, I'm done. I've got so much work to do now. It's ridiculous. Before Deb gets home, she's not in a particularly good mood because she's just as tired as me. And we have a teenager in the house just to antagonise people who were supposed to come on the show but can't be bothered to actually give out Father's Day greetings, presents, and comments on Doctor Who.
Right.
Until then, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, number 170. Next week, we'll be watching and talking about an episode I've forgotten. Go on, tell me.
The Pandora opens and the Big Bang.
Look forward to it.
Two episodes, not one.
Well, oh, technically. Okay. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Good. Bye. Said William Shatner.
Podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk, and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Beautiful cat, though, isn't it? Or now, can I rephrase that? I might edit that a bit to make it a bit funnier. Be quiet. No, hang on. It's just an edit point, because I'm going to edit it to make it sound a bit funnier. Beautiful edit pussy. Point. Oh, will you stop walking over my jokes? For goodness sake. I'll try that again. But until next week, thank you for listening to us for the idea. I'll start that again. Until next week, thank you for listening to the 20MO Dr. Legolev. Will you shut up? I'm trying to do the bloody end of the show. Until then, thanks you for... Thanks you. Take 15.